Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Moed Katan Daf Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With the Almighty's help, we are now about to embark on a new Masechta, Maseches Moed Katan. The name Moed Katan is associated with Halochas of Chol HaMoed. Before we begin a new Masechta, we at Gemara Markings highly advise going through, learning the Mishnayos of the entire Masechta ahead of time, and it makes things much easier to understand as we go along. Let us point out that the laws of Chol HaMoed are the subject of a machloikis rishonim, whether the molocha restrictions, the activities that are restricted on Chol HaMoed, are restricted on a Torah level or on a rabbinic level. As we go through the Gemara, we're not going to touch upon that too much. Here and there, the Gemara makes references to things that are osur midoraisa, things that are osur midorabanan, but that is not going to preoccupy us. As we open up the Masechta, you will see that alongside the laws of Chol HaMoed, there will be a certain level of preoccupation with the laws of Shvius, the Shemitah year. The Shemitah year being a time, a year, one out of every 7 years, which is prohibited in numerous agricultural activities. Before we begin the actual Mishnah, we glance at the side where we've provided something called klolim, certain rules that will be of importance for today's shiur. So we've noted on the side Roman numeral number 1, ma'ayon, that has to do with a source of water, a live spring, a flowing source of water. And Roman number 2, a few lines later, you can see in our introduction, sug haso, the type of field. So first we focus on the source of water that would serve to water or irrigate a field. And in this context, we're talking about a ma'ayon. There are other sources of water, deep pits, rivers, and the like. But we're going to focus now on a ma'ayon, a live spring. Number one, shiyotza b'tchila. That's the expression you see in the Mishnah. That means it's a newly formed or newly developed, a newly appearing live spring. Have chodosh. Yotza b'tchila means it's new. V'yesh chashash hismoitetus. And because the channel in which the water flows is only recently appearing, so it hasn't become firm and solidified. So there's a fear that the walls of the channel of water that this spring is flowing in will collapse. And with that in mind, so that would generate then more preoccupation with it over the course of Chol HaMoed. And maybe we should have pointed out earlier that with regard to Chol HaMoed and Shvius, particularly Chol HaMoed, we're interested in reducing the amount of tircha that a person is engaged in. Tircha being trouble, preoccupation with whatever. So a new channel, since it hasn't solidified yet, there's this fear of it caving in. Shelo yotza b'tchilo, that's number two, is have yoshon. It's an old stream. It's been flowing for a while. Lochein ein chashash hismotetus. There's no fear of it caving in. Sug hasoda, the types of fields that we'll be discussing, beis hashlochin, zokuk lahashko, we can call that an irrigation field. It needs, we'll say, artificial watering. Artificial means in contrast to rainfall. It needs, if you prefer, initiated watering. V'loy mashke moisoy havei nifsan. And if you don't care for it, if you don't take care to provide this initiated watering, so the field will become a loss. Beis Habal, on the other hand, is a rain field. It's lo nochutz lo hashka. It doesn't require your initiated watering. The maspik loy hageshem. The rain is sufficient. The Mishnah. Mashkin beis hashlochin b'moyed u'b'shvias. One can water an irrigation field, a field that needs your initiated watering, b'moyed, on cholamoyed, u'b'shvias, and on the during the Shemitah year. The Tosfos at the beginning, at the top, points out, Mashkin beis hashlochin, soda she'eno mistapekes b'mei gishomim, it's a field for whom water from rain is not sufficient. V'tzorch lashkoisu tamid, and it needs to be constantly watered. V'im ein mashkinoisu todir nifsedis, and if you don't water it regularly, it will become a loss. V'hilkoch mashkinoisu b'chol amoyed, and therefore we allow the watering of it on the chol amoyed, the intermediate days of the holidays of Sukkot and Pesach. U'mishum pseido shoru le'rabbonan. And because of loss prevention, the rabbis allow this activity. Kedamrinon, Beperik Ein Dorshin, Tanya Idoch, and here he gives you the background for the issue of melocha, of activities during Chol HaMoed, or the prohibition thereof. Sheshes Yomim Toichal Matzus, Uvayom Ashvi Atzeres Lashem Elokecha. That's the Pasuk. Mashvi Otsur, just like the seventh day is restricted, held back from allowing numerous activities. Af Shisha Atsurim, so to the 6 days, the other 6 days are restricted. E Mashvi Otsur Mikom Locha, if like the last day of Pesach is restricted in all Melochas, it's a holiday, the last day is forbidden in all Melochas. Af, are you going to say, kol shisha atzur mikom locha? Are all the other 6 days completely restricted? Tamud lomar hashvi'i. That's hey yisera. Hey is the letter hey, and that word hashvi'i is extra. Hashvi'i atzur mikom locha, v'ein hashisha atzur mikom locha. The seventh day is totally restricted, but the other 6 days are not. Now, we have to be careful when we say the other 6 days, it really doesn't include the first day. The first day is also prohibited completely in Melacha. So it's a reference to the intermediate days, technically speaking, 5 days. Ha lo mosra nakosuv elo lachachomim. The list of activities that are forbidden is given to the sages to determine lalamdocha eze yoim osur veze yoim mutter eze melocha asur veze melocha muteres. So the sages are the ones that govern, that dictate which days are completely osur, which days are not, namely the chol hamoed days are not completely osur, and which melochas, which activities are restricted and which activities are not. So the Torah acknowledges the rabbinic intervention, we'll say, of determining what is in the list of those activities that are prohibited. So it's not as easy to determine as it is in the case of Shabbos or Yom Tov, where you simply look at the Mishnah in Masechet Shabbos Daf Ayin Gimel and you see a list of 39 Ovos Melachos. Those 39 Ovos Melachos are completely are Osir when it comes to Shabbos, and most of them are Osir with regard to Yom Tov as well, with the exception of cooking related, baking, fire related Melachos. But other than that, Yom Tov is also forbidden, basically the whole list. However, when it comes to Chol HaMoed, when it comes to the intermediate days of Sukkot and of Pesach, there the rabbis establish which ones are usur, which activities are forbidden, and which activities are not forbidden. So now we go back into the Mishnah. We mentioned the watering of a beis hashlochin on Chol HaMoed. Moed is just a short term for Chol HaMoed, and Mashvias, the seventh year, the Shemitah year. Bein mimayon shiyotza betchila, bein mimayon shalo yotza betchila. The permission of watering a beis hashlochin is across the boards. as far as water supply is concerned. Namely, whether it's a new stream, and certainly if it's an old stream. And a mayon, again, is a live spring of water. It doesn't involve your drawing water with pails from some type of deep well, but rather it's a live spring. Avol, ein mashkin, loy mimei hagishomim, veloy mimei hakilon. However, one cannot draw rainwater. This is water that accumulated from the rains, nor from mei hakilon. On Daf Dalid, the Bach, Ois Aleph, quotes the Loshon of the Rambam regarding Mei Kilon. It's a bor omoik, a deep pit that involves tircha in drawing the water from it in order to water the field. So therefore, the Mishnah restricts watering the field from Mei Gishomim, from rain waters, or using, of course, rainwaters means you're drawing water from a pond or a lake that's whose water content is from rainwater, and likewise not from the Mei Kilon. Other activities that are restricted, V'ein ois and ugios ligfanem. Ugios are ditches that surround grapevines, that these ditches eventually filled with water and serve as a source of water, as a supply, water supply for the vine. So we don't make these ditches around the gefanim. Rabbi Elazar ben Azari Omer, ein oisin es ho'amo b'tchila b'moyed u'b'shvius. One is not to dig out an irrigation ditch. An amo is an irrigation ditch, a new irrigation ditch, on cholomeid nor on shvius, on shmita. Now, with our markings, you can see we've emphasized the point of difference. Whereas Rabbi Elazar ben Azari is restrictive not to dig out an irrigation ditch on Shemitah year, the Chachamim say you are allowed. Umesaknim, and here we've used a double underline to highlight the expression mesaknin, means we repair. Umesaknin es hamikukolos b'moyed. Granted, you're not allowed to dig out a new irrigation ditch on Chol HaMoed. However, we allow the repair of those that are damaged. And umesaknes kilkule hamayim shibushus harabim. The Meforshim on the Mishnayos explain that one is allowed to repair the pipes that water pipes in Rishus HaRabim. In a public thoroughfare, water pipes that, and there's different explanations. It's either they're water pipes that carry fresh water, or they carry waste water, but they run through public thoroughfares. The chutetin oison, that has to do with unblocking stopped up pipes, digging out debris that keeps the water from flowing. Umesaknin es hadrochim, one can repair roads, ves horachovos streets, the es mikvois hamayim, a mikveh, a ritual pool for immersion, the oisin kol tzorche horabim, and all public needs, umetzainin es hakvoros. This has to do with marking off graves so as to ensure that kohanim do not step over them. V'yotzen af al hakilayim, and we also send out people to remove mixed breeding of plants that are growing in a mixed fashion, which is forbidden. The Gemara. Before we continue with the actual Gemara text, we glance at the side under the Nosei, the topic heading, Im Mutur Lahashkois Mimayon Shiotsu B'tchila. As the Mishnah says, one is allowed to water his field from water that comes from a live spring that's of a new nature, and we said that the new live spring is more problematic than a spring that's been flowing for a while. Lomo haMishnah tzrich lelamed heter lahashkus man shelo yotza betchila sheyoser poshet lahatir. Why does the Mishnah have to tell me that which is even more obvious? In other words, once you tell me that you can water your field, drawing water from a new live spring then all the more so using a spring that has firm sides, a firm channel, where there's no fear of it caving in. So that is the opening question of the Gemara. Hashta, the Gemara. The question, of course, you can see lasts a couple of lines. Hashta yesh loymar mimayon shiyotza betchila. The osi le'inpuli. Mashkin. You tell me that a newly formed or a newly emerged live spring that flows near your field, you can use water from it, where there is a feel, where there's a fear of, in Puli means from the word nofal, the shoresh, the root of the word nofal, where the walls of this spring channel can fall in. And yet, even though there exists such a fear, we allow you to water the field from that water source. And we're not afraid that it might crumble and you'll come to invest extra tircha, extra effort, which, as we said in our introduction, we're trying to avoid when it comes to cholamayit. So we allow using a mayon shiyotza betchila, mi mayon shelo yotza betchila, the lo asilin puli mi paya, to water from a spring that is not new, that hasn't not, it's not yotza betchila just now started flowing, but it's been around for a while, where there's no fear of the a channel crumbling, which therefore is reason for being more lenient. So why does the Mishnah have to tell me that piece of information? The Gemara answers, and it's a long answer. Amri, we answer, Itzdrich, I need to tell you that as well. Itana mayon shiyotza betchila, had the Mishnah spoken about an allowance, a heter, with regard to the use of a new stream. When we say use, means it's being used as your water supply for watering the field. If we told you that, Have Amina, I would have thought, Hacha hu, the Beis HaShlochen in Beis HaBaal, Loi, that it's here with regard to an irrigation field that we allow, but not a rain field, Mishum the Osilin Puli. And why by a rain field would we not let you use a mayon shiyotza betchila? Because of the fear that it might, the channel might crumble and you'll come to tircha yesera, extra efforts. Avol, mayon shelo yotza betchila, but with regard to an old running channel of spring water, the lo osilin puli, where there's no fear of it crumbling. Ema, I would have thought, Afilu Beis HaBaal Nami, you can water even a rain sufficient field. Komash Malon, our Mishnah therefore comes to dispel that thought. And our Mishnah is telling me, Lo Shno Mayon Shiyotza Betchila, Velo Shno Mayon Shelo Yotza Betchila. No difference is made halachically between a new spring versus an old spring. Beis HaShlochen in, Beis HaBaal lo. The allowance, the permission is only for an irrigation field and not for a rain field. Namely, with regard to a rain field, even a mayon shelo yotza betchila will be prohibited. The Gemara now continues. We have triangles highlighting on the side of the Mandara Mivne, Biur Milim, explanation of terms. Umay Mashma, the high base Hashlochin, Lishno de Tzachusahi. From where do we know, or what's the basis of the word Shlochin with regard to a thirsty field? Tzachusa is something that's parched or thirsty. So, what is the source of the word base Hashlochin or Shlochin with regard to thirstiness or parchedness? Dichtiv, the pasuk says, "V'ato oyef v'yogea." The nation of Israel was described upon their leaving Egypt from bondage as being oyef v'yogea. Those are two expressions if you need to literally translate them, so be it. Fatigued and strained or worn out, umetargaminon. But for our purposes, the main thing is to see the connection etymologically. The targum, that means the Aramaic of the word oyefiogea, which indicates tired and thirsty, as we explained. Right? The Tosfos points that out. Oyefiogea tsome lamayim. So the targum of that is viat mishalhi veloi. Notice we dash on the keyword mishalhi. The hey of that word interchanges with a ches. Ches and hey are interchangeable letters, so that mishalhi becomes mishalchi, and hence you see mishalchin has to do with thirstiness. Umay mashma dahai beis habal lishna demias vusahi. From where do we know that, or where do we see the term beis habal? Referring to a field, miasfusa literally means something that's established, that is self-sufficient, if you will. From where do we see that? Dichtiv. There's a pasuk that says, Kiv al bochur basula. Umetargaminon, the targum of that word, which, that pasuk that is, Yiv al bochur basula. That has to do with intimacy between male and female. The targum of that is Are kamo demisuva demitoisov ulom im besuta, just like a young man with his virgin bride establish themselves together. Yis yasfun begavech bonayach. The prophet is saying, so to you, the nation of Israel will be established in your midst, in the midst of the land of Israel. So that we see that the word beis habal, taken from the posuk ki yiv'al bochor besulaf, and it indicates something that is established and self-sufficient. And that is what beis habal connotes with regard to a field that's self-sufficient. It lasts on its own without our initiating any water. The rain water is sufficient for its survival. As you can see, we have a slash mark, which indicates a new trend of thought. The topic heading on the side, we have noted, together with a structural note, with the mivneh. Shortly, we will see a house shape with an alternating position. On the side, we refer to this as a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a give-and-take discussion. So with the point facing up, upwards, they will represent shuvos la-sheila. They represent responses to the question, man tana, who is the author of our Mishnah, the heter melocha, the permission for activities, mugbal l'mokum seda, is limited to situations where there is loss, ubetnai she'en bo tircha, with another restriction, and that is, not only must we be speaking about a situation where there's loss, but that there is no extra exertion. So we're looking for an author. The inverted house indicates tichios, a rejection of whatever is being said, whatever is being suggested. So before we go on with the Gemara, I'll just get a feel of the give and take. Rav Huna will attempt to say that the author of our Mishnah is Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, and a Tanaic source will be cited to back him up. The Gemara will then reject that. Later, then we'll see Rav Papa suggests that our Mishnah is in accordance with Rebbe Yehuda. The Gemara will try to reject that. And that you can see second line from the bottom. And as you skip ahead to Omid Beis, the third line from the top is again a response where the Gemara will in effect reinstate what Rav Papa said, that the author is Rebbe Yehuda. But once again, we are looking for authorship of what our Mishnah represents, and that is, as the Gemara says, Man Tana, who is the author of the Mishnah that says the Pseida in Harvachalo, only where there is loss. And that is illustrated in the Mishnah by the case of the allowance only with regard to an irrigation field, no allowance for a rain-sufficient field. You can't water a rain-sufficient field because that is not a situation of loss. If you're going to water a rain-sufficient field, in effect, harvacha means increase. You're increasing production. You're not merely preventing loss. The afilu, the Gemara goes on with the second qualification, the afilu b'mokam pseida, and even where there's fear of loss, mitrach nami lo tarchinon, we do not allow a watering that involves extra exertion, trouble. And that is, as we witnessed in the Mishnah, because we're not allowing the drawing of water from the Mei Gishomim or the Mei Kilon. As we explained before, that involves extra exertion. So who's the author of this? Omar Avuna, Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov Hi. It is this Tana, this Nan, and we have a Tanaic source with him appearing in it, Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov Omer, Moshchin es hamayim me'ilon le'ilon ubelvad shelo yashke es hasode kula. This is in effect is found later on the Vav Amud Beis, a Mishnah Vav Amud Beis. He says you're allowed to draw water from one tree to another on Chol HaMoed, water that accumulated under one tree. You're allowed to draw that water from one tree to another. However, you're not allowed to water the entire field. And we're talking about a Beis HaBaal, a rain-sufficient field, and the prohibition is one is not allowed to engage in harvacha. Let's take a look at the Tosfos here. Moshchin amas hamayim. Tosfos refers to drawing water. Our Girsa in the Gemara is Moshchin es hamayim. So he says, She'im yeshom mayim tachas ilon zeh, if there is water under one tree, yochol moshchem b'moy tachas ilon acher, you can draw the water from one tree to another. Mishum ti ilon kebeis hashlochin domei, the tree itself has the status of a beis hashlochin, an irrigation field. Utsrichin l'mayim tfei, it needs more water than just the rain. V'hadetona moshchin v'lotona mashkin. That which the term that's used is moshchin, as opposed to mashkin, urcha de milsukatoni dvinyan zeh regilin lahashkos ilonos. This was the standard procedure in how to water trees, drawing water from one tree to another. However, we point out, once again, that the Rav Lozer ben Yaakov prohibits the watering of the entire field. And Rashi adds that information that the rest of the field is considered, it has the status in this source of a Beis HaBaal. So what do we see? We see that Harvocha is not allowed. And that, as we said, that was what our Mishnah also prohibited. The Gemara rejects this as authorship of our Mishnah. Amor d'shamis le'Rabbi Lezer Harvocha d'lo. What we do see is that Rabbi Lezer prohibits profiting, efforts that would lead to profit. Tircha b'mokam seido mishamisle. Do we see from here that where you're dealing with loss, that he would prohibit extra exertion? Maybe not. Maybe when it comes to a place of loss, for example, in a Beis HaShlochin, one would be allowed to draw, let us say, Mei Kilon, water from a deep pit, which, as we said, involves extra tircha. So we don't see Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov as being the author of our Mishnah. Elo Omarav Popo. And this answer takes a number of lines to develop. Homoni Rabbi Yehudahi. Our Mishnah will be in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. Desanya, the Tanaic source says, Mayan Ayotzi B'tchila, a new spring, Mashkin Mimenu Afilu Sada Beisabal Devar B'meir. That's not our mission, of course. He says you can water even a Beis HaBaal. He's very extreme. A new stream, new live spring, you can water even a Sada Beis HaBaal. That's Rabbi Meir, but of course he's not suggested as the author of our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda, now we dashed under on him so as to draw your attention to this particular shita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein mashkin ela soda beis hashlochen shechareva. You're allowed to water only a dry beis hashlochen. That's a literal translation. The Gemara will analyze the word chareva later. Rabbi Lozer ben Nazariah Omer, Loi kach veloi kach. Not this nor that. So Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah is very, very restrictive. Yes, sir, Al-Kenom Rabbi Yehuda. Furthermore, Rabbi Yehuda says, Lo yifane odom amas hamayim v'yashke l'ginoso u'l'churbosoi b'cholo shalmoed. One cannot redirect a ditch of water to have his garden nor his churba, his ruin, watered on chol hamoed. My chareva. In this source, we saw the expression chareva. What does chareva mean? The source had said a beis hashlochen shechareva. Ilemo chareva mamish, literally a parched, dried out land. Lomo li demashki la. Why even bother watering it? It's a total loss. V'yomer Abaye shechareva mimayon ze. V'yotza la mayon acher. Rashi explains, Shecharevo mimayan ze v'yotza lo mayan acher, Shecharav mayono shiragilo lishtois mimenu. The usual spring has dried out. The kevon shiragilo lishtois, since it's a field that has been accustomed to being watered, ilo mashkilo achshov is leib seidi yisir. If you don't water it now, there'll be a total loss. Afilu hachi lo shori Rabbi Yehuda elo mimayon shiyotza lo. The lav tirchahu. Even so, Rabbi Yehuda is allowing only a live spring, which is not, which represents a non-exertion. Avol meg shomim u meg kilon. The tirchahu, but with regard to drawing water from a rainwater source or a deep pit, which does involve extra exertion, lo shori afilu lebeis hashlochen. Rabbi Yehuda does not allow, even if it's an irrigation field. V'od chazino dekom Rabbi Yehuda lo yifan ames hamayim v'chulei, alma de lo shori Rabbi Yehuda tircha yisera, that which Rabbi Yehuda said, you don't redirect an irrigation ditch from wherever it is to water your garden or your ruin. We see that Rabbi Yehuda does not allow tirchi aser amo masnis Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah then reflects his opinion. The whole Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, as far as he is concerned, he was exceptionally restrictive. Lo shna chorev mayona, lo shna lo chorev travayu osar mimayon shiyotza labatchila. He prohibits the use of a new stream under all circumstances. So at this point, we see, and we have a bracketed section which explains Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, but in the meantime, we see that Rabbi Yehuda says that a Beis HaShlochen is allowed to be watered from a new water source. That is exactly what our Mishnah said, where we should, if you want to be more accurate, even from a new water source, but only a Beis HaShlochen because of loss. We have a bracketed section, as we mentioned. The purpose of the brackets is for initial skipping, and we have on the side Sagrayim. By the starred notes, so Graim L'Shem Dilug, the Hadachia Shemofia Acharel Hu Almashe Ne'amar Lifnehem. The inverted house is a rejection of that which appears before the brackets. The Hainu Ha'amodas Ha'amoda Kerabi Yehuda. The attempt to establish a mission like Rabbi Yehuda, there, as we said, the inverted house represents a rejection of that attempt. Besoicham Hagmur Masbir Abloza Ben Azaria Shemuva Bamoker. In the within the brackets, we pause a moment to look at his shita. But now we, with that in mind, we continue. Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria Oimer lo kach velo kach lo shno chorev mayona velo shno lo chorev mayona. Whether it's a field that its water supply dried out or it's not so, mayon shiotza betchila lo, a new spring cannot be used to water one's field. That's his shita. The Gemara asks, or let's say rejects, attempts to reject that which Rav Papa said. Umi mai, who says that our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda? Dilma ad kan lo kom Rabbi Yehuda, beis hashlochin and beis abal lo. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda, who made a distinction between beis hashlochin versus beis abal, elo mayon shiotze betchila. Maybe his restriction with regard to a beis habal with a rain-sufficient field is only with regard to a new spring. The reason being, we continue at the top of Amud Beis, Dilma Osi Limpuli, because of the fear of the channel crumbling and that resulting in Tircha Yesera. Avol Mayon Shelo Yotze Betchila, Dilo Osi Limpuli, but with regard to an old stream, an old spring that's been flowing for a while where there's no fear of it crumbling, afilu beis habal nami, even a rain-sufficient field Rebbe Yehuda would allow. The Gemara says, if you're going to take that approach, im kain, and here we're reinstating Rav Papa, that says our Mishnah is Rebbe Yehuda, if you're going to take that approach, masnisen aman tarmei, who will you be able to ascribe our Mishnah to? You'll have no author for it. Not Rabbi Meir, not Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. Ella, rather, we have to conclude. Le Rabbi Yehuda, lo shno mayon shiyotze betchila, ve lo shno mayon shelo yotze betchila. As far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, no distinction is made between the type of mayon, if it's an old one, and even if it's a new one. Beis hashlochinim beis abal lo. The allowance is only for an irrigation field in order to prevent loss, but not for a rain-sufficient field, which represents profiting. V'hai dikotoni mayon shiyotze betchila. The fact that the source featured a new spring, it was there to show how far Rabbi Meir goes in his leniency. Even a new spring, he has all the leniencies in the world, meaning even a new spring, and even if it's a rain sufficient field, we call that tarti lakula, 2 points in the in the direction of leniency. So after all is said and done, we started a discussion and now have completed it as far as who is the author of our Mishnah that says that when it comes to mokum pseida, when it comes to preventing loss, we allow even a new spring. However, when there is no loss involved, as would be the case of a sada beis habal, no watering is allowed, no initiated watering is allowed, even from an old, reliable channel. The author of that, then, is, as we said, Rebbe Yehuda. As you can see, a slash mark appears indicating that that which follows is a new trend of thought. Before we go into the Gemara itself, we glance at the side. We have a new say, a topic heading, a structural note combined into one. A diamond is featured, and the diamond highlights words that will be highlight. You can see the words Choresh and Zorea appear down the Omid. You can see in diamonds. The Gemara will deal with Menachesh Umashkemayim Lizroyim. Menachesh has to do with weeding, and Mashkemayim Lizroyim is watering plants. Machloikis Rab over of Yosef Le'eza Ovis Melochas Heim Shayachim. Which primary activities, we say Ovis Melochas, we refer to the list of 39 Ovis Melochas that you find in Masechet Shabbos on Daf Ayin Gimel in the Mishnah, 39 primary prohibited Melochas, and we want to know in our Sukkah, these activities of Menachish, weeding, pulling out the unwanted grasses, and Mashkemayim, watering plants, which primary Melochas are they similar to? We pointed out the words Choresh and Zorea. Choresh is plowing, and Zorea is planting. What is weeding and watering similar to? Is it similar to Choresh, or is it similar to Zorea? A squiggle underline, you'll see, appears in the Gemara highlighting Kavosei Didi Mistabra, where each one of the opinions that the Gemara presents, we, Rabba and Rav Yosef, will say that my opinion is more likely. The Gemara later on will feature a bow tie marking. Bahemshech, a Gemara Tevarer, the Gemara will clarify al yedei kushios through questions. Kol echot mi pu'ulos elu, each one of these activities of menachish and mashke, le'eza av shayach yoseh, which is it more likely to resemble? So you can see we've used the bow tie to highlight the expressions menachish and mashkin. You might ask, of what value is there in knowing what each one of these activities resembles by way of Ovis Melochas? The importance of knowing that is because before you can punish someone for doing a prohibited activity, you have to issue a warning to him. And you have to, in the warning, you have to say that the activity that you're about to do comes under the following heading. Is included in a well-known prohibition, namely one of the Ovis Melochas that are featured in the list of Ovis Melochas. You can't simply tell someone that you see is about to do an activity, hey, you can't do that. That's not sufficient, halachically speaking, a sufficient method of warning somebody. You have to be more specific and spell out what the source of his activity is in terms of the Ovis Melochas. There are more details to the laws of Hasra of warning, but for our purposes, that's what's relevant. The Gemara, Itmar, HaMenachish VaMashke Mayim Luzroyim B'Shabbos. As we explained, Menachish has to do with pulling out unwanted grasses or unwanted plants. Rashi says, Menachish Toilei Shasovim Royim Mitoch HaTovim, pulling out bad grasses from good ones. The chiakri luhu tsamchi hanitfei, when you remove the unwanted ones, the plants that you leave there, that you preserve, will grow better. They will increase or improve in their growth. Mashke mayim lezroyim has to do with watering the plants. Now, one who does these activities on Shabbos, mishum mai masrinon bei, what is the basis of the warning that we would issue him? Tosfos points out what we said before. Tosfos across from here, Mishumai Masrinon, the Ain Odom Loike Veloinera, the person cannot be lashed. Lashing has relevance to, let us say, activities done on Yom Tov. Being killed has relevance to activities done on Shabbos. Elabasra, these punishments, these are court ordained punishments, cannot be inflicted unless there was warning. Shemasrinan bo, we tell him, lo sa sehach isura, do not do thus and thus prohibited activity. Kidemafkinon b'Sanhedrin, Mikra, Tetzorch Lefarish, Shem Ho Isir Behedya. As is learned in Maseches Sanhedrin, then one has to specify the origin or the source of this prohibited activity. So we raise the question, what is the basis of the prohibition of Menachish, of we call it weeding out or watering? Rabo Omar Mishum Choresh. The warning is that you are guilty of doing an act of plowing. Notice, and here is an example, a classic example of what appears in so many places throughout the Shas, how translation is, it could be very misleading. Translation is not what learning Shas is about. Learning Shas is about developing halachic concepts. So the concept of Harisha is what we're referring to. So that Rabbah says that, so that if you are, if, either if you're watering or you're weeding a field, it's considered under the general heading of Choresh. Again, literally, plowing. And we'll see why later. Rav Yosef Omer Mishum Zorea. Because one is considered guilty of the Av Malacha of Zorea, planting. Omar Rabo, Kavosi Didi Mistabro, my approach is more likely. Ma Darko Shulchurish Lupuye, Rabo focuses on the superficial appearance of the act, not the final goal. What does it appear as? So the nature of plowing is Lupuye, it softens the ground. That's Lupuye Aro. Hai Nami Marpuye Aro. When you're either pulling out grasses, or you're watering plants, you are softening the surrounding ground. So you're loosening or softening, loosening up the ground. That is its common denominator with Harisha. Omar of Yosef, Kavosi Didi Mistabra, my approach is more likely. Ma Darku Shil Zorea Tzmuchi Pira, just like the nature of Zorea is for causing growth, hochanami mitzmach pirosotu, watering and weeding causes growth. So that Rav Yosef puts emphasis not on the immediate appearance of the action, but looks into the reason for the action. We look in the Tosfos, komar puye aro. Tosfos initially explains Rabo, who says that these actions of Menachish and Mashkimayim soften the ground. We look at the initial action, and it resembles Choresh in that sense of softening the ground. Rav Yosef Afagav, the Ikur Melocha Doim LeChoresh. Rav Yosef says that even though the initial action does resemble Choresh in that sense, Machsheves HaNefesh Lav L'Rpuyei Aro, the plan, the thoughts, the intentions of the individual are not for softening the ground. Ubahachi Fliki, it's based on this that we have the machloikis. The Rabo Sover Lobosar Amaisa Medaminon Law, Velo Achara Machshava, Rabo says we emphasize the action and not the intent. For Rav Yosef Sover Bosar Machshava's Linon, Tavi Iker, Rav Yosef says we emphasize the intent, the plan, the intent, which is the main thing. Velo Azlinon Bosar Adimion, we don't look at the similarity, the superficial appearance. We continue now in the Gemara with a long question. Omar le Abaye le Rabo. Abaye presents a problem to Rabo. He says, "Liditcho kashya Rav Yosef kashya." According to your approach and Rav Yosef's approach, I raise a question. There is a difficulty. Liditcho kashya. The question I pose to you is: Mishum choresh in mishum zorea lo? Do we hold the person accountable only for choresh and not for zorea? The Rav Yosef Kashya, and likewise with regard to Rav Yosef, a similar question, Mishum Zorea in Mishum Choresh Lo. We hold a person accountable only because of Zorea, not because of Choresh. The Chitema, you might say, Kol Hecha De'ika Tarti Lo Mechayev Elochado. Wherever there are two, we only hold accountable a person for one per customer. That's not true. The Omer Rav Kahana, Zomer v'tzorach li'etzim, a person who prunes a tree. Now, pruning tree branches promotes the growth of the tree, promotes growth of new, better quality branches. So one who prunes a tree, and at the same time, the wood that he is removing from the tree, while pruning it, he needs for fuel. So someone who is zomer v'tzorach li'etzim chayav shtayim, he's doing one action. He's cutting branches off a tree. And yet he is held accountable for two actions, for two violations. Achash mishum notea, one because of notea, which is the equivalent of zorea when it comes to trees. It's the equivalent of planting or promoting new growth. The achash mishum kotzer, and the second violation is one of harvesting. So you see that in one action, you could be held accountable for two violations. So, both according to you, Rabbo, and Rav Yosef, why only one violation? Kashya. So this remains a bit of a difficulty. It's not a total repudiation, but it's a difficulty. Why Rabbo and Rav Yosef insisted on the guilt of only one violation, when in fact one could have been held accountable if he's Menachesh or he's Mashke, one action, and yet he could do Menachesh and be held accountable for both Choresh and Zoreah. We now go back to Rabbo and Rav Yosef themselves. Eisve Rav Yosef LeRabbo. HaMenachesh, here we have a Tanaic source, and we're emphasizing with our bow tie marking the activities that opened up this sukya, where Rabbo and Rav Yosef argued. So we have here in this Tanaic source, HaMenachesh weeding, v'machape. Machape has to do with covering plants or plant roots with dirt. Liculayim, in a case where there is a mixed variety of plants growing, loike, one is guilty of receiving lashes. The Rabbi Akiva Oimer af hamakayim, and Rabbi Akiva says, one who sees kilayim growing and maintains it, he doesn't uproot it, is also guilty. Rav Yosef continues, Bishum aludi di diamino mishum zoreya. Things work out well according to me that I said menachesh weeding is considered zoreya. Hainu dasiro zriya bikilayim. The source dealt with mixed breeds. Mixed breeds, kilayim, is forbidden to plant. One cannot plant zoreya, mixed breeds. Elo ditcho diamris mishum choresh. But you, Rabbo, who said that menachesh is considered a subdivision of choresh, harisha bikilayim mi asira? Does the Torah prohibit plowing kilayim? Omar le, Rabbo answers, Mishum mekayim. Plowing a field in which kilayim is growing is a form of maintenance. It's mekayim, and that is in fact prohibited. The Gemara asks, V'hor mi detetoni seifo Rabbi Kiva miracha mekayim? From the fact that Rabbi Akiva introduces the idea of mekayim, of maintenance, mechlal de tanakamo lav mishum mekayim hu. That would imply that the first opinion in the source, the opening opinion, the tanakamo, doesn't hold from that concept. And yet the tanakamo says that one who is menachesh by kilayim is loke. He's guilty. And you can't tell me he's guilty because of Mekayim, because that's what Rabbi Akiva introduces. So Rabbo will answer, Kula Rabbi Akiva he. This source is entirely Rabbi Akiva. There aren't two opinions. Umay Tam Komar. The way to read the source is as follows. The source is giving a reason for that which was stated in the beginning, the early part of the source. My tam hamenachesh v'machapet v'kilayim loike. Why is menachish, weeding, and mechapa, covering the plant roots, in the case of kilayim, guilty of lashes. Mishum mekayim, it's guilty because he is preserving the kilayim. Rabbi Kiva Omer, af hamekayim, Rabbi Kiva says that even mekayim, in not only planting mixed varieties, but preserving mixed varieties is prohibited. My time with Rabbi Kiva, what's the basis of Rabbi Kiva? The Sanya, we have a Tanaic source that quotes a pasuk. Now, before we read the Tanaic source, let's glance at the side where we have the pasuk written, Vayikra Perek Yutes, pasuk Yutes. It says, "Es chukoy say tishmoru behem techolo sabia kilayim, sodeche loy sizra kilayim, uvegid kilayim, shatnez lo yale olecha." The pasuk features three types of mixed breeding. Interbreeding animals, mixed breeding of plants, and cloth mixing of wool and linen. That's called chatneys. So now, where do we see in this pasuk the prohibition of maintaining a field of kilayim? Because if you look at the pasuk in a very superficial, strictly translation level, the pasuk after it says behemta cholos arbia kilayim, it goes on to say sodcha loy sizra kilayim, do not plant your field with mixed varieties. Where does it speak about maintaining it? So we continue. Desanya, sodcha loy sizra kilayim. The pasuk says, do not plant your field with mixed varieties. Ein li ela zorea. That tells me planting is prohibited. Mekayim inayin. Where do you see in the pasuk the prohibition of maintenance? Talmud loymar. And here we can look back. If you see, you have the pasuk on the side as well. You see, we've dashed underlined these words. Kilayim sodcha lo. That means mixed breeds in your field there shall not be, which basically means you can't maintain, you're not allowed to maintain mixed varieties in your field. Now, of course, what we just did was a stroke of the oral law, the oral Torah. We could say that the oral tradition, the Torah Shebaal Peh, overrides simple pasuk translation. And that's the power of Torah Shebaal Peh, which basically is repositioning the comma, the imagined. Of course, the written Torah doesn't have punctuation, nor does it have vowelization. So the entire understanding of the written Torah, of the Torah Shebaal Peh, is totally dependent on an oral tradition that is responsible for vowelization and also for punctuation. So what we've done with the power of the Torah Shebaal Peh, according to Rabbi Kiva, he pushes the comma earlier in the pasuk, so that you have a phrase, Kilayim Sodecha Loi. We go back to the Gemara, Tanan. Mashkin Beis HaShlochin, and note, we have a long question, and in this case, the question is going to be raised against Rabbah and Rav Yosef. It's a long question. Tanan Mashkin Beis HaShlochin B'moyru Shvius. This, of course, should be familiar to us. It's from our Mishnah. It says you can water an irrigation field on Cholamoyed and on Shemitah. Bishnama Moyed. I understand regarding Cholamoyed, Mishum Tirchahu, the prohibition of Cholamoyed activity is based on exertion. And we don't want you to involve yourself in tircha. Uva mokum pseido shoru rabbonon. And when there is an issue of loss prevention, so the rabbonon allow you to engage in a certain amount of troubling yourself, a certain amount of tircha. Elo shvius. But when it comes to the Shemitah year, bein lemando omar mishum zorea. Don't forget, we're analyzing mashkin right now. What is mashkin? Of course, it means watering the field. But what's the av melacha? What's the origin of mashkin? So we saw machlokas before between Rabbah and Rav Yosef. So whether it be according to the Madomar Mishum Zoreya, that mashkin is a subset of planting, ubein the Madomar Mishum Choresh, or whether it's according to Rabbah that said mashkin is a subset of plowing, zriya v'charisha b'shvias mishori. When it comes to the Shemitah year, do we allow these activities? Zriya and Harisha? Certainly not. So the question is against, the question is posed against Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef. In their defining mashkin as either Zoreya or Choresh, our mission is hard to understand. You can see we have house markings, and on the side under the Mifneh, we indicate that these are Shnei Tshuvos. These are two answers to the question we just asked. We also had pointed out that we're going to be involved with a Shvius discussion, a Shemitah discussion, till Daf Dalet Amanah, very long discussion. Omar Abaye, B'Shvius Bizman Hazeh V'Rebi Hi. If you're asking how in the world could our Mishnah, according to Rabbah and Rav Yosef, allow Mashkin on Shemitah, that's because we're talking about Shemitah Bizman Hazeh, Shemitah nowadays. When we speak about nowadays, we're referring to a time period when the Jewish people are not concentrated in the land of Israel. And we're speaking in very general terms. There's a lot more to be said on this topic, but there is a difference between the time that nation of Israel was concentrated in the land of Israel versus nowadays. So, even though we observe Shemitah nowadays, according to Rebbe, it has a rabbinic status. And being that it has a rabbinic status, that means from the Torah, you can do anything you like on Shemitah, Bizman Hazeh, nowadays. The rabbis came along and defined what things are prohibited. And since it's in their powers to define those matters, they tell you that nowadays, when it comes to loss prevention, we allow certain activities, included in which is watering fields, watering beis hashloch and irrigation fields. And the Gemara goes on to give the background now, Shitas Rebbe, that notes that Shemitah nowadays is the Rabbanan. If you skip down to the second line from the bottom, where you see the next house marking, you notice Rava Omar Afilu Tema Rabbanan, as opposed to Abaye, who limits this to Rebbe. Rava says you can say that our Mishnah is even in accordance with the Rabbanan, that will tell you that Shemitah Bizman Hazeh is in fact D'oraisa, in fact on a Torah level prohibited, that therefore Zoreya and Choresh should be forbidden. And nevertheless, Mashkin will be allowed. And Rabbah will give us his answer. So that now that we've laid out the structure, let's go through the background for Rebbe. Rebbe mentions that there is such a thing as a Shvius that is that Shvius Bizman Hazeh is the Rabbanan. Desanya Rebbe Oimer. Rebbe quotes the pasuk, "Vezed dvar hashmita shamoit." That's the quote from the Torah, and in this word, pasuk, you see the word shmita referred to twice: the word hashmita and the word shmot. B'shtei shmitos hakosuf medaber. The pasuk is referring to two areas of shmita. Now, the word shmita, shamot or shmita, means to desist, to stop, to prevent. What preventions are we talking about? Two kinds. Achas shmitas karka ve'achas shmitas ksofim. One has to do with the stoppage of agricultural land activities, and the other has to do with the stoppage of loan collections. People who extended cash, or extended cash, let's just speak in simple terms, cash loans over the course of time, when the Shemitah year arrives and finishes at the completion, at the end of a Shemitah year, so the lender is not allowed to collect his loan. The loan is canceled. And, of course, that's a superficial, basic explanation of Shemitah's Ksafim. There is a lot more on the topic that's beyond the purview of our Gemara marking shiur. So the Torah refers to two kinds of Shemitah. Shemitah's karka and Shemitah's ksofim, cash. Bisman shata mishame karka to mishame ksofim. In the era that Shemitah's karka is observed, then Shemitah's ksofim is observed. Ubizman shiata mishame karka I ato mishame ksofim. And in an era when karka is Shemitah is not observed, and it's at this point that we see that Rebbe is acknowledging that there is such a thing as a time period when Shemitah's karka is not binding. So during that time period, I ato mishame ksofim, cash loans are also not canceled. So when in an era when agricultural activities are not canceled, are not prohibited, so in that time period, loan collections are not prohibited either, and that a lender can collect his money. So Rebbe speaks about Shemitah Bizman Hazeh, two eras of Shemitah. Don't confuse, by the way, the two that we just mentioned, two Shemitah eras, with the double Shemitah in the Pasuk. The double Shemitah in the Pasuk, Shemitah Shemot, is a reference to two kinds of preventions, of prohibitions, of restrictions: land and cash. But Rebbe adds to that that they go hand in hand, and that has to do with eras. An era during which Shemitah, land Shemitah is observed, so too the cash Shemitah is observed. The era which we call nowadays, when land Shemitah is not observed on the Torah level, so too cash collections are not restricted either. That having been said, since we're dealing with Shemitah Bizman Hazeh, and according to Rebbe it's rabbinic, we can make allowance for the watering of Beis HaShlochin during Shemitah years. Rava Omar. We continue in the Gemara. Afilu Temer Abonan, the Mishnah that was quoted, Mashkin Beis HaShlochin Beis Shvius, that you can water fields even during Shemitah year, and according to Rabba and Rav Yosef, watering was either plowing or planting, which are ordinarily restricted on a Shemitah year. However, according to Rava, the Rabbanon who say that Shemitah Bizman Hazeh, even nowadays, is the Oraisa, is Torah binding, Avos Asa Rachmana, we continue at the top of Gimel Amud Aleph, Toldos Lo Asa Rachmana. The Torah prohibits only primary agricultural activities, as we mentioned before in the list of 39 Ovos Melachos. Those activities are prohibited. Plowing, in the simple sense of taking a plowshare and plowing up the dirt, or planting, putting seeds in the ground, that is what's prohibited. However, toldos, derivative activities, subset activities, that the Torah, lo asa rachmona, the Torah does not answer that. The Torah doesn't prohibit those things. Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, uvashono hashviis, shava shavoson yel oretz, sodecho loisizra, v'charmecho loisizmor. In the Shemitah year, you shall not plant your fields, nor prune your vineyards. And the Pasuk goes on to continues there, by the way, we have it on the side of the Gemara, you see the starred reference. Michti. In looking into this Pasuk, Zmira, the Pasuk makes reference to pruning. Karmacholoi Sizmor, it said Zmira. Bichlal Zria. Zmira, pruning is a subset of planting. As we said before, pruning promotes growth, just like planting obviously initiates and promotes growth. Ubitsira, that's harvesting of grapes. Bichlal Ktsira is a subcategory of Ktsira, harvesting of grains. There are subcategories. Lamayichus Kasvinu Rachmona. Why does the Torah bother writing Zmira and Betzira as being prohibited during a Shemitah year? Lameimra, the Torah is telling me, the Ahani Toldos Mechayev, only on these Toldos subset, subcategory activities does the Torah prohibit it? Achronaisa lo mechayev, on others. And we note, like, mashkin, for example. That's a subset of whatever, but lo mechayev, the Torah does not prohibit. At this point, the Gemara will raise a question, a long question, but with that we'll be spilling over quite a bit more into our new daf, so we'll be pausing here as far as the continuation of the Gemara, but the point we're making right now is that, according to Rava's presentation of the Rabbanan, during Shemitah, even Bizman Hazeh, which is Doraisa, we should say, even though Shemitah is Doraisa, nevertheless, when it comes to subset or toldos type activities, only Betzira and Zemira, harvesting of grapes, pruning of trees, those are prohibited, but other toldos would not be prohibited. And with that, we then understand the source, our mission that said you could be mashkin, based on shlochan on shvius, even though mashkin would be either zoreya or choresh. Mashkin, though, is a tolda, it's a subcategory of activity, and hence it's not prohibited. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.